So the readings for this Mass on the Feast of the Purification of Blessed Virgin Mary, the epistle is taken from the book of Malachi. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I send my angel, and he shall prepare the way before my face. And presently the Lord whom you seek, and the angel of the testament whom you desire, shall come to his temple. Behold, he cometh, saith the Lord of hosts, and who shall be able to think of the day of his coming, or who shall stand to see him? For he is like a refining fire, and like the fuller's herb. And he shall sit refining and cleaning and cleansing the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and shall refine them as gold and as silver. And they shall offer sacrifices to the Lord in justice. And the sacrifice of Judah and of Jerusalem shall please the Lord as the days of old, in the ancient years, saith the Lord Almighty. Please stand for today's Gospel, which is taken from that of St. Luke. At that time, after the days of Mary's purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they carried Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, as it was written in the law of the Lord, every male opening the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according as it is written in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was in him. And he had received an answer from the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when his parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he also took him in his arms and blessed God and said, Now thou dost dismiss thy servant, O Lord, according to thy word in peace, because my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to the revelation of the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Blessed are the words of today's Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear faithful, today is a day full of mysteries. We see today, 40 days after our Lord's birth, he comes to the temple in the arms of Mary, there to offer to his eternal Father his own self, his sacrifice which he will accomplish, offer himself to satisfy divine justice. And we remember that this is the entire reason, the reason that he became flesh, that he took on this flesh, so that he could offer this flesh in sacrifice on the cross. Our Lord, by his death on the cross, he has brought about that all souls throughout all time can receive the light of faith. And by his death on the cross, he has brought it about that all souls throughout all time can receive the fire and the warmth of his divine charity. By his death on the cross, our Lord has made it possible for us to enter into heaven, where we will see the light of the beatific vision for all eternity. And by his cross, our Lord has brought it about that we will be able to unite ourselves to the Holy Trinity, to enter into this charity, which is the Holy Trinity for all eternity. These things are brought about by our Lord's sacrifice, this offering which he makes of himself this very day in the temple, and which is completed on Calvary. And this is shown by the candles that we bore just a few minutes ago in the procession, full of mysteries, as Father mentioned. The light of the candle, that light can only be given if the wax of the candle is sacrificed. If the wax isn't sacrificed, no light can be given. And it's to the degree that it's sacrificed that light and warmth are given. And in this way, the candle is a symbol of our Lord, that wax being his flesh, which he allows to be consumed and offered in order that he can give us the light of faith. He can give us the warmth of his charity now and then in fulfillment in heaven. And this is a law of the spiritual life, which we see shown in the candle, but on a high, much higher level in our Lord himself, that without this sacrifice of self, without this offering, no spiritual good can be brought about. It's a law of the supernatural order. And it's to the degree that one is offered and sacrificed that good will be brought about. Our Lord said this when he preached. He said, unless the grain of wheat falling into the ground die, itself remain alone. If it is not offered, that grain of wheat, it won't bring forth fruit. But if it falls in the ground and dies, it brings forth fruit, and fruit in abundance. So this is the law that we are taught today with these candles being consumed so they can give off light and warmth. Our Lord offering himself, being consumed so he can give us the faith and charity. And Our Lady, she too follows this divine model. She imitates her son in this offering. She said at the moment of the Annunciation, be it done unto me according to thy word. Thy will be done. I offer myself to you. Whatever you ask, that I will do. These weren't just passing words for Our Lady. This was her life. These words could summarize her entire life. Be it done unto me according to thy word. What offerings did Our Lady make? The very first offering that she made that shows us the supernatural law of offering which brings fruit, which brings graces. The very first time she did it was when she consecrated herself a virgin as a very young girl. She made a tremendous sacrifice, giving to God the thing that was greatest to her, offering him her purity. Realize, my dear faithful, what this means for her to offer up this virginity. First of all, it's a tremendous sacrifice for any girl to make because it is in a woman's nature to bring forth children. It's sacrificing something very dear to her as a young woman. But more than this, for a Jewish maiden, much harder, because every Jewish maiden wanted in some way to participate in the coming of the Messiah, either directly or indirectly through being a grandmother or perhaps even the mother of this coming Messiah. But Our Lady in her humility offered this. No, I will not be the mother of the Messiah. I will remain a virgin. What a tremendous offering she made. And how did God bring forth fruit out of this offering? He made her a fruitful virgin. Who could have ever thought such a thing is possible? It seems a contradiction to us, and yet it's not. God has done it. This virgin remains a virgin, and yet she is fruitful. She is a mother. And our salvation is brought about by the sacrifice of Our Lady, this pure virgin. This was her first offering. And now in the temple, she takes our Lord in her arms, like the host laying on the paten when the priest presents it in the Mass. She takes him in her arms and she goes into the temple, up to the altar, there to offer her son. It was not enough for her to make this first offering. She makes a second. You have made me now a mother. And this now is the mother of Almighty God. And this now is the most dear thing to me. And so I'll offer this. I'll offer the son that you gave me. I'll offer him. So she goes there to the temple and offers him in sacrifice to the divine justice. She unites herself to his offering. And in offering him, she is offering herself. Saint Simeon comes to her and says, a sword shall pierce your heart. Your martyrdom will be a martyrdom of the heart. All that this man God will suffer, you will suffer in your sorrowful and immaculate heart. She offers herself again. We must pause for a second and realize what this entails, this offering which she makes. It is tremendous, my dear faithful. It's easy to pass over, though. At the moment of offering our Lord today, Our Lady knew what she was offering. It wasn't as though she was doing it blindly, as we often do. Generously, many young men give themselves to the priesthood or to become a monk, young women to become nuns. But often, they don't know exactly what God's going to ask of them. This happens even in marriage. And you'll hear some very experienced in the religious life, in the priesthood, and married life, they'll say, if I only knew what this was going to cost, I might not have done it. But Our Lady knew what it would cost. Why? Because first of all, St. Jerome points out, she knew the prophecies of the Messiah, and she reflected on these. Her most pure soul was enlightened by Almighty God to understand that the Son of God who would become man would suffer all of these things that are given in the prophecies. So she knew what he would go through. But St. Teresa of Avila, she says that when St. Simeon spoke these words, a sword shall pierce your heart, special light was given by God for her to see what was going to happen to our Lord. to see it in all its details, his internal sufferings, his external sufferings. And she made her offering nonetheless, not my will, but thine be done. Whatever you ask of me, that I will do. And she followed this offering through to Calvary, of course. It's impossible for us to comprehend what this sacrifice meant to Our Lady. It's impossible. And the reason is, the measure of her suffering was the degree of her love. And we can't comprehend the love of the Mother of God for the Son of God. We can't comprehend it. Never was there a heart more loving than the Immaculate Heart of Mary, more pure, a heart that really took it to heart to love Almighty God above all things. And this, her Son, was her God. So she has this double claim on him. He is her God, and so she loves him above all because of that, but she is his mother, and she loves him because of that as well, more than any other mother could love a son. There is no more loving heart than Our Lady's heart, but there is no object worthy of more love than our Lord that calls upon her to love him. How amiable he is, beautiful among all the children of men. And so her love for him was profound, and we can never fully comprehend what it was. And it is because she loved him so much that she suffered so much. We see poor mothers suffer all the time from the loss of their children, and yet these children are imperfect. This was a perfect child that she was offering, the Son of God made man. And in offering him, she offered herself. In fact, St. Bonaventure says that she would have rather suffered the cross than to have her Son suffer it. She was more willing to go upon the cross herself than to make our Lord go through with that. But because it was God's will, she accepted it. And her sufferings only began today. That sword started piercing today, and it pierced deep. But it just began today. Her whole life was one of grief. St. Bernard says that. And St. Bridget says, Our Lady, she suffered this grief until her Assumption. She lived this martyrdom day in and day out because of the profound love she had for our Lord. So we see how much she is offering. Now, what fruit? We are speaking of this supernatural law, an offering brings about great fruit. What fruit was brought about by this offering of Our Lady? On Calvary, she became the co-redemptrix. Together with her Son, she merited our salvation. By participating in his passion, she helped him to acquire our salvation, and she has become the mediatrix of all graces, so that all graces now pass through her hands. We can make a comparison between her offering and Abraham's. In the Old Testament, God asked Abraham, offer up your son. And Abraham did so. God stopped him at the last minute, and he told Abraham, because thou hast done this thing, and hast not spared thy only begotten son for my sake, I will bless thee, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. You made this offering, and I will bless it. Our Lady, she offers something so much greater to God, a sacrifice so much more pleasing to him. And so she too will receive a great reward. Thy seed shall be as the stars of heaven. Our Lady, she offered her virginity and became the Mother of God. She offered this sacrifice of her Son, and she became the mother of all of us poor and wretched sinners. Our Lady on Calvary, this offering she made, she became the mother of poor sinners, their refuge. And now her seed is as the stars of heaven. All of these children, which she claims as her own, they're as the stars of heaven. Who can number the great multitude of poor sinners that owe their conversion to Our Lady? This is the fruit of her sacrifice, of her consuming herself, as the candles today consume themselves. St. Alphonsus gives an example, a very striking story. He gives so many in the Glories of Mary. But on this Feast of the Purification, he gives this one. There is a sinful man that went to confession to a priest that was acquainted with St. Alphonsus. And this priest told St. Alphonsus a story directly. There was a young man, he was a nobleman from another country. He came to go to confession, and he was standing in line, and the priest saw him standing, and the young man looked like he wanted to come, but didn't want to come. He was very confused. So the priest came to him and talked to him. And he said, I'd like to confess, Father, but I have too much to say. So the priest suggested, let's go to this private room and you can make your confession there. So he took him aside. But the young man, he said he could not believe that God would forgive him because he had done so many horrible things. And really, he had done horrible things. Many sins of impurity. He had committed homicide. He had killed people. He despaired of his salvation after these great crimes he committed. And because of that, he started committing sins, not because they satisfied him in any way. He wasn't gratified by them. He did them with the sole purpose of spiting God, with the sole purpose of showing how much he hated God. So he took a crucifix with him, and he had it with him when he was making his confession. He beat this crucifix to show his hatred of God. That very morning, he had gone to communion on purpose, making a sacrilegious communion so he could take it out of his mouth and then stomp on the host. But because people were standing by, he didn't do it, and he had it in a piece of paper. And as he walked, he passed this church that the priest happened to be hearing confessions in, and there was something that forced him to go in. He could not go on. He went in, and he found himself in the confession line. And he suddenly realized, I can't make a confession. This is impossible. He was too afraid and too confused. He wanted to go, but he said, it's like there was a hand holding me. I couldn't leave. I was stuck there. And now I find myself here in front of you, Father. And the priest asked him, he knew the power of Our Lady, and he said, have you ever practiced a devotion to the Blessed Mother? And the young man thought for a minute, and he said, no, I never did. And he said, try to think, because these sorts of graces only come from her. And he thought, and he said, nothing, Father, nothing. But he lifted his hand to his chest, and he remembered suddenly he had on a scapular, a special scapular in honor of Our Lady's Seven Sorrows. And he said, yes, Father, I remember, I have the scapular. And the priest said, that is how you have brought about this conversion. Ah, my son, do you not see that Our Blessed Lady has bestowed this grace upon you? And this church that you're in, it's dedicated to her. And of course, the young man, he broke down and he made a good confession and he amended his life. This is the fruit of Our Lady's offering. This is just one story among so many, this multitude that Our Lady has brought into heaven because she offered herself. Now, applying this to your own lives, we must do the same. It's a law that our Lord showed us. Our Lady followed it, and now we have to follow it. If we want to bring about supernatural good in our life, we have to be willing to make an offering. And it's only to the degree that we offer ourselves that we will receive some supernatural good out of it. That goes for our own life. It goes for our children, parents. It goes if you're a teacher. All of these things. But I want, especially today, for those young people who are thinking about a vocation, to reflect on this. Often, young people are afraid to make an offering of themselves because it's demanding. Certainly, there are sacrifices that have to be made. But look at the fruit. How many souls are touched by one priest? How many souls are converted by the prayers of a Carmelite? Father Willie Doyle said that he didn't think it was any exaggeration to say one priest would touch 5,000 souls in his life. Not only this, but it brings so much personal happiness as well. What joy to be participating in this work of salvation. These are the fruits, but the offering has to be made. Reflect on Our Lady's offering. It's unthinkable, but what if she didn't make that offering? How many poor, wretched sinners would have gone to hell if she didn't? And it's the same for you young people. Think for a moment. If I don't offer myself, it seems God is calling me, but my selfish desires pull me back. If I don't offer myself, how many will be lost? How many, when I go stand before the judgment seat, will our Lord show me, this soul you were supposed to help, but you didn't, and they lost their soul. This soul you were supposed to help, but you didn't, and they lost their soul. We don't want that. Make this generous offering. If February 2nd is the day that the seminarians take cassock and receive the tonsure. In the seminaries, in the society, in the Northern Hemisphere at least, they're making their offering today. It's their offertory, and it will be consumed, their sacrifice will be consummated at their priesthood. When they are consecrated priests, young people, think about making such an offering. If you think God is calling you, in imitation of Our Lady, in imitation of our Lord, looking at the symbol of the candle, consuming ourselves so that we can bring about good to others, the light of the faith, the warmth of God's charity. Let us be as this grain of wheat falling into the ground and dying so that it can bring forth abundant fruit. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.